going to have a look at our talk, and it's part of this series of Waiting for Christmas, where we're looking at various characters in the Bible, and what does Christmas mean to them? And today we're going to be looking at David. What does Christmas mean to David? And today, again, we're going to look at this next pre-Christmas character. The problem, which we want to look at, is that feeling of belonging. We all feel a longing to fit in, to find a comfortable place or a group to relate to. We all are looking for a lifestyle which describes us perfectly, which satisfies our needs, that suits us exactly. We want to belong somewhere or with someone. And too often we fight for what we think is right for us. We even will sacrifice time, money, or comfort to get this perfect life. And we want to look at something strange about this aspect of ourselves, this wanting to belong, wanting to be described and explained. The story of Christmas that we're getting ready for is about when God was born. Jesus has always existed, but he chose a time and place to be born as a human. What's strange is this. How do you describe an infinite God? What does Jesus belong to, or where does he belong? What's his group? What kind of life would suit the God who made life? Where does Jesus belong? And what title or what tag do you give to Jesus who created the heavens and the earth? In truth, Jesus has many titles, but there is one that he gets called a lot, and especially around Christmas. And this name is the strangest of all. The Lord God is often called the Son of David. Well, who on earth is David? And why on earth is Jesus proud to be called his son? What does it mean to be the Son of David? You might believe that that is what Jesus thinks of that title, but let me just show you a few examples of this title. We read in our readings that a priest called Zechariah burst into a mini sermon, a song, because of how joyful he was. Zechariah was ecstatic that this salvation was coming from David's family, as the prophets had said. In the nativity scene at Jesus' birth, there are some shepherds who were calmly watching over their sheep, but then a host of angels appear out of nowhere, telling them a saviour has come from David's town. When Mary is being told that she will give birth to the living God, the angel Gabriel tells her this: he, baby Jesus, will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. As Jesus is healing all kinds of disabilities or diseases, and even casting out demons, the astonished crowds ask, could this be the Son of David? And finally, those crowds that said that become more sure of this, because on Palm Sunday, these crowds are waving palm leaves and whirling their coats around, shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Or perhaps the final and best example of all, there was a blind man called Bartimaeus who heard that Jesus was passing by his begging... Oh, Helen, could you... I think they're looking for the art gifts. They're in that bag just next to the table. Thank you. So yes, perhaps this last and best example of all is this blind man called Bartimaeus, who heard that Jesus was passing by his begging corner. And this blind man shouted at the top of his voice, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this blind man kept shouting this, even though the crowds around him told him to shut up. But he kept shouting to this Son of David until his eyesight was healed, and afterwards Bartimaeus started following Jesus. So, this Son of David title is very, very important. Everybody, both the poor and the great, knew who this David's son was. They knew what it meant to have that title. So, let's ask the question, why is David and his son important? David was the picture-perfect king. He started from the bottom. He had victory in whatever battle he leaded. David trusted the Lord God dearly, his God. He was handsome. He played the harp. So he was this poet warrior. And he united and restored a failing kingdom. And David brought about a golden era of peace and prosperity. David was the picture perfect king, almost. King David started as a shepherd, looking after sheep. And even among his brothers, he was the least. But the Lord God wanted David to go on to greater things. We won't cover David and Goliath today, but we might remember it's a story about David trusting in his God more than anything, bigger than an enemy in front of him. And also we won't cover David's life before he became this king. But again, the summary is this. He never stopped trusting in the Lord his God. He kept loving and trusting Jesus. And that is where this title of Jesus comes into focus. King David had done many great things. He had numerous victories, and he made Israel incredibly wealthy. But David wanted the Lord to be physically and literally at the centre of the nation, more than anything. What he had experienced in his life, his trust in the Lord, he wanted for the entire nation. And David was prepared to cash in all his favours and dedicate enormous wealth to building a house for the Lord God to live in, a place where God could live safely among his church. The culmination of David's golden era was getting ready for God to live among them. There was one problem. David wasn't good enough. David thought he could safely contain God in a building, even if it was a grand one. But let's think about that. David was the best king you could get, the best money could buy. But even he wasn't good enough to safely house God. This was devastating for him when he heard this. Humanity has since the beginning of the world been exiled from God. And people hoped that David was the one to finally end that exile, to bring God and humans together again, like Moses had done for them, the church in the Exodus. Make the world like it was back in the Garden of Eden, when God lived with us. But why is this title, Son of David, so important? David failed. He couldn't fix the world's problems. So why is God himself, Jesus, proud to be called the Son of David? Well, God gave a promise to David after he said he couldn't build this temple. There was a promise about a child that would be able to house God. A child that would be king forever and ever, and a better king than even David. And a child that would finally let humans and God live together again. And this kid was going to be one of David's children. That is an incredible promise. David's dream was going to come true, but just through someone else. But the promise actually gets better. Because although David had wanted to try to contain God in a building, in a temple, this child of David was going to do better than that. He didn't even need a temple. This coming king was going to be God's own son. David was going to have God in his family. That is far better than David could have dreamed. God wasn't just going to live with us. He was going to be adopted by us. We read Zechariah's prayer earlier. And now we can understand why Zechariah was so joyful that he burst into his great song. And let me read the beginning again. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. So David wanted to contain just a part of God in a building, but Jesus in himself expresses all of God. Jesus perfectly and physically describes the living God, his perfect life. And so Jesus being born and being this son of David means the living God has come. And Jesus is going to connect humanity and God again as he did back in Eden. Jesus is going to be this heavenly king, which when we follow as blind Bartimaeus did, we actually become a part of a kingdom that's been going on since the beginning of the world, and it's a kingdom that's actually never going to end. And our king, Jesus, he, instead of taking from us, instead of taking money or resources or people, he actually gives, he feeds, he clothes, he heals. And best of all, he doesn't send us to die for him, he goes to die for us. So, Jesus is this picture-perfect king, and his kingdom is worth belonging to. And just finally, as we look again, what does Christmas mean to David? There was an image I had in my mind, and I don't know if you remember it, but there's a Doctor Who episode, and it's about when Van Gogh, he's a painter, he's super poor, he's got no money, and he doesn't think his paintings are worth anything in the episode. And when the doctor meets him, he's so discouraged. Van Gogh doesn't think his paintings are worth anything, but he has a dream that everybody's going to love art. People are going to love his paintings. And I don't know if you remember, but in the episode, Doctor Who, at the time, Matt Smith, takes Van Gogh to the future. And he shows him a museum where all his art is displayed. And he has this moment where he realizes all his dreams came true and better than he thought they would. All of it became real to him then. So I just want us to think about that. When David got this promise of Jesus, it's like that. It's like he got teleported, transported to the future, and all his dreams came true and better than he even thought they would. He couldn't believe that God was going to be here and live among us as well as Jesus did. So that's what Christmas means to David.